Father, we come to you this morning with thankful hearts, Lord. We're glad today, Lord, we're able to be here somewhat together. Lord, we thank you for everyone that's come. Lord, you know our hearts, you know our needs, you know our concerns today. God, I just pray now, Lord, the Word of God will be that will give us strength, health, direction. Lord, in our lives daily, as we try to walk with you, Lord, we commit ourselves to you, we commit this time, this day to you, and your word. Now, God, help us, Lord, as we go through this time together. In this lesson, Lord, as we focus this month, these few weeks, on God's remedy for a sick nation. God, we ask you to help us. Lord, we definitely need your help. Lord, individually, as a church body, and as a nation, God, we give ourselves to you now. Have your will and way in all we say and all we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Proverbs chapter number 14, look at verse number 34. All of you know this verse by heart. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Turn over to Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29. Look at verse number 2. Verse number 2. Proverbs 29, verse number 2. The Bible says, when the righteous are in authority, the people, what's the next word? Rejoice. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But notice, when the wicked beareth rule, the people what? Mourn. Proverbs 29, 2. When the righteous are in control, the Bible says, the people rejoice. But when this wicked rule, the people mourn. Don't we see that today? Don't we see that today? It's evident. It's evident that God's word is true because of who's in control today. I thank God today that his word is real. Again, it's true. And we see evident in it today what's taking place. When God is denied, when God is forgotten, folks, men cease to understand one another. When God is forgotten, he's denied. We can't understand one another. But when God is where we are to be in our lives, we understand one another better. Because God illumines us. He illumines our minds. You know, we all make mistakes, don't we? No matter if you're who you are, or you're the President of the United States, or whoever you are, we all make mistakes. But you know, we all have the same nature. We all are made the same way. From the beginning of time to where we are today, we all have the same nature. Now, I want us to go back to the book of Genesis just for a moment. I want us to look at ourselves, okay, as who we are today. Genesis chapter number 2. We all have the same nature, all of us. No matter what we're facing, what we have to face, we all go approach things the same way. Genesis chapter 2, look at verse number 21. Genesis 2, 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. My, what a lie. What a lie. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Satan always has an answer, doesn't he? And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree that to be desired to make one wise. Now we see the three categories of sin: the lust of the flesh, the eye, and the pride of life. All three involved right there. And did eat, and gave it unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And notice verse 7, the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman, notice, the woman. The man said who? The woman. The woman said, and the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Now notice, and the Lord God said unto the woman, what is that that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent, notice, beguiled me. The serpent beguiled me. Adam's excuse was the woman. Eve's excuse was the serpent, right? The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this thing, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Now what I say here is this. When somebody did what God told them not to do, what is their response? They did wrong, okay? They knew they did wrong. But they blame somebody else. They blame somebody else. Adam blamed his wife. Eve blamed the serpent. You know. And folks, I say this for myself. We all have that same nature today. We all have that same nature today. We can sit here, we can stand and talk, and we can say our president is to blame. And he is. We can say our courthouses are to blame, and they are. But let's don't forget, we are to blame too. We're to be blamed too. Are we doing what we should do? I received an email this week from a missionary talking about the decision of the court, of course. And so what are we going to do? What are we going to do as Christians? We're going to keep doing what we're supposed to be doing. You know? We know that again, God's in control of everything. Now, it should alarm us, should awaken us, I should say. Are we doing our best? Are we doing all we can do? Are we doing all we can do, you see, in this country, you see? Because this country needs help, folks. It needs help. We need God. We need a revival. We need an awakening. And God is trying to awaken us. Why do you think all these sharks are out here on the coast of North Carolina eating, biting people? Does that ring a bell to anybody you reckon in the world today? Someone said, sharks are supposed to be in the ocean. That's their home. The problem is people are in where they not shouldn't be. That's the whole problem. They got motels down there. You rent and you go swimming in a pool, okay? But people like the ocean. They like the nakedness. They like to be out in the world, you see. God's trying to speak to us in so many ways, folks, and we are so blind. We're so blinded by Satan. We're going to keep on doing what we want to do regardless of what God says or what God does. Our eyes need to be open. Our eyes need to be open. And may God help us. God's people are in danger of correction from God. Just like Israel, they receive judgment. God's people are going to receive judgment too. We really are. We need to wake up. We need to be awakened. God wants to be much more close to you and to me than we want to be close to Him. I believe that with all my heart. We're distracted in this world so much, all the time. We're always distracted, you see. God wants His presence to be with us, and we should desire His abundant presence all the time. But we have other things that are more important to us. Other things are more important to us. Earthly possessions are more important to us. What I can gain, what I can get, is more important to me than being close to God and having God first in my life. Earthly possessions. Approval from people. Wanting to be approved by somebody. You know, make my life what it ought to be. I want to be high ranked, so to speak, in my career. I want a position, so to speak, and to be approved. And how we use our time. How we use our time. These are all things that help us and could hinder us in being close to God. How we use our time. We all have things to do. We all have too much to do. But I wonder how much of our time do we spend for God. We have 168 hours in a week. Do we spend 16 hours a week for the Lord? That's 10%, right? Almost 17 hours a week. Do we spend 17 hours a week for the Lord? Two this morning, one tonight, one Wednesday, that's four, say 5 hours. You still got 11 hours in a week. That's almost 2 hours a day, hour and a half a day. Do we give to God? You know, I look back on these men like Spurgeon and all these great men of God years ago, man, they spent time with God. I mean, literally hours with God. And because of it, we saw great revivals. We saw God's moving upon the people in the world. But we're distracted today. We're distracted today. Everything's trying to hinder us. Everything's trying to hinder us. The problem is us, folks. It's not God. When we say, and Brother Bailey says, when God bless America, I wonder what we mean by bless. What do we mean by bless? God bless America. What do you mean when you say God bless America? I hope it's not monetary gain. I don't see how a country could have more than it has. Folks, God needs to bless America. God needs to deal with His people, work in the hearts of His people. Having revival. I don't know about you. I remember the years ago when we had revivals. I mean, the moving of God upon the people of God. That was a blessing to me. That was encouragement to me. But we don't see it much today. Not that we can't. We need to pray for it. But what do we mean by God bless America? God move upon our hearts. God move upon the people of God. He's saying, awaken us and help us to realize we need Him. We need Him more than we need anything in this world. We need God's blessings. You know, it's a serious mistake to ignore God's invitation sometimes when He asks us to do something. It's very serious. It's very serious. You know, I'm so glad that I go to the post office about every day of the week now. And I go there and I walk in. Of course, you meet people. I try to speak to people and people speak to me. But you know, it's a blessing. It's a blessing to see people in this world that still have respect. It really is. I see people that have bundles in their hand and somebody in front of them must stop and open the door and let them in. I said, you know, that's nice to people to do that. And then I see somebody walk in the door and somebody run and come behind with a bundle, say, bust through the door, right on through, they don't pay nobody behind them, no more attention than nothing. You know, disrespectful. You know, that's this society today. But that because society is that way, don't mean I'm going to be that way. Don't mean I should be that way. You see. It's going to be up to me with God's help. See, God's not going to make me do anything. Did God make you get saved? No, He did not. You made a choice to be saved. Well, to be what we ought to be, we still had to make a choice. We had to make that choice, you see. So we have to be realistic about where we're journeying today because most of us are very distracted. We're very distracted. We're the one who needs to take action, not God. We need to repent. We need to ask God to help us. We need to make a change by God's help. Not God. We do. Rather than wait on God to do something in our hearts, we need to go ahead and do something when we know God's nudging us. God's dealing with us about doing something different in our lives. Don't wait upon him to strike us down. Remember that whenever you're going through difficulties, no matter what it is in your life, keep in mind that God has his best interest in you. He has his best interest in you. He loves you. He wants things to be good for you. He wants things to be right for you. And God always has been that way. God sometimes may be separating you unto himself to do something special for him. We are a body. We have a body. As an individual, we have a body. We have a church body. There's a church body all over this world of good Christian people. All over this world, a body of believers. And there's a body out here in the world that's lost. And they need a Savior. But all three of these bodies, my body, the church bodies in the world as a body, all these bodies, when a body is too weak to throw all poisons in its system, what happens to it? It dies. If I'm too weak spiritually to avoid the spirits of evil and the things that are out in the world that I don't need to watch, I can watch out, because they're going to creep in and they're going to hinder me. They're going to rob my fellowship with God. And sooner or later, I'm going to find myself not where I ought to be. Likewise, at the church, it can happen to a church. And it certainly has happened to the world. The world is so sinful today. So much poison on the world today. But it's dying. It's dying. Literally, it's dying because of sin. The world is dying. So we see today that we need help. We need help. I want you to turn over to 2 Chronicles. Brother Bob put this verse. And believe it or not, this is going to be my theme verse for this next few weeks. 2 Chronicles 7. I want you to put your eyes upon it. I want us to read it together. God's remedy for a sick nation. God's remedy for a sick nation. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. The Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. We see here four things mentioned that God said. Number one, humility. Humble ourselves. I don't know the greatest sin or the biggest sin in America today, but I'm thinking about it. It could be pride. Pride. Everybody's so proud. Everybody's so proud. I remember, you remember, folks, when people did things that were wrong, they were ashamed of it. But I don't see much being ashamed today, do you? I don't. Whatever people do, they're not ashamed of it. They say that's the way the world is today. And that's true, that's the way the world is, but that still doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it right. Humility. We see, first of all, humble ourselves. We see, number two, to pray. Certainly nothing is more important than prayer. We need to pray. I think as Brother Ken said the last Sunday night up there about those judges that made that decision. He thought about it, and he asked himself, did you pray for them? Did we pray for them? Did we sincerely pray for them? Are we praying for our president every day? Are we praying for people? Prayer makes a difference, folks. It makes a difference in my life, in your life. It makes a difference in this country. I really believe, Lamar, if all God's people would do these things that we have laid out here in the book of Chronicles, we see a great difference in this nation. I really believe that. God's word is true, isn't it? God's made a promise here. And God cannot lie, and God will not lie. If we would do what God asked us to do, we see a difference. And I'm afraid the cost is too much for us. We don't want to pay the price. Don't ask me to do all these things, you know. Humble myself, pray, seek God earnestly, he says here, and repent of my sins. You don't hear much about that nowadays, do you? Repenting. Repenting. You don't even have to repent to get saved nowadays. All you got to do is pray a prayer. I don't believe that. I believe when a person gets saved, they're sorry for their sin, and they ask God to forgive them. And they repent. They repent of their sins. You know, it's something that's just working in their hearts. And God nudging them to be sorry for what they've done, what they're doing in their life. And they repent of their sins and come to God. But these things are we see here, we're going to be talking about these next few weeks. We call it God's remedy for a sick nation. God's remedy for a sick nation. Now, I want you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 this morning. This is just more or less an introduction to what we're going to be talking about. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I want us to look this morning at some examples of a nation called Israel. You know, it's an amazing thing to me how history repeats itself, doesn't it? It repeats itself. We can see it in nations in the Word of God, especially the nation of Israel. We can see it even in our nation, how history repeats itself. Ever so often it comes back up. Things come back up. And here we find in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, we find here how Israel, the tragic failure, has produced both examples and also exhortations to us. First of all, let's look at the examples in here in this passage of Scripture. The Israelites, they enjoyed God's supernatural signs. God did supernatural things in the very midst of Israelites, the Israelites here, and also the spiritual blessings. But what was it to them? It wasn't much. Because soon they were back out in sin. They were doing wrong again. They were forgetting God. Back and forth, up and down, all the time. Well, let's look first of all at the examples in verses 1 through 4. As we look at the advantage that Israel enjoyed. What Israel had that we don't have. What God blessed them with that we're not blessed with. Notice it says in verse number 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant. How that," notice that next word, "all our fathers were under the cloud." All our fathers were under the cloud. Not part, but all our fathers were under the cloud. Now, we know the cloud was a pillar. We notice that it was a pillar. This was a physical demonstration of God's presence to Israel. Can you imagine today having a cloud as a very demonstration of God's presence for us today? We have the Holy Spirit, okay? But at this time, it was a pillar cloud. For God's presence, Jehovah went before them day by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them in the way that they were to go. See? And also in a night, a pillar of fire to give them light. And he did this that they might march on as they need to march on, so they wouldn't stumble and fall. We see here there was but one pillar, a cloud and a fire. Only one pillar of a cloud and a fire. And fire in that pillar. By day it appeared in a cloud in contrast with the light of the sun. But also at night as a fiery splendor in the sky. A cloud. This was God's demonstration to his presence to his people. Not only was it there, but God spoke to them through that. His voice came from that. He spoke to them. See, in this cloud, Jehovah, the visible representation of God, was represented there with Israel as he spoke to them in the cloud. He spoke to them in the cloud. We don't know what that's like. We don't know what that's like. But they did as a nation. This was an advantage they had that we don't have as a nation. Israel, we don't have that. God speaks to us through his word. By the Holy Spirit speaking to us. Therefore, we see here the advantage they enjoyed. Not only that, look at also in verse number 1. Says, "All our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea." Talking about the Red Sea. We see here they were led by the cloud and then the waters of the Red Sea parted for them. This was a very miracle of God in the very presence of these people. These people saw things that you and I never see. We'll never see these things. But this is a miracle of God working in their lives to reveal himself of who he was and his power and how he loved them, how he loved them at this time. Now, look in verse number 3. The Bible says, and we're all, notice the word all, that all our fathers and all passed through the Red Sea, and then we're all baptized unto Moses, and in the cloud, and in the cloud, and in the sea. We see here, they were, the water that we see here, they were supernaturally provided for also. Look in verse number 3. And we're all baptized unto Moses, and Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat of the same spiritual meat, and all drink also the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was who?
Christ.
Christ. We see here the blessings of Jerusalem, or Israel, the advantage they had. Israel did. We see they were led by the cloud. They the waters of the Red Sea opened for them. We see also that they were provided for supernaturally, food and water. God did that for them supernaturally. So we see Christ himself also accompanying them. He was with them. He was with them in the cloud, in the pillar of the cloud and fire. He was with them. You know, God's always been with his people. He always will be. The Bible says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Amen? He never will. He never will. So we see here today how the advantage here that was enjoyed by Israel. We also see also what happened to Israel, verses 5 through 10. The tragedies, the lessons, the warnings to us. Look at verse number 5. The Bible says, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Some of the people of Israel were overthrown in the wilderness. They didn't believe God. They didn't follow God. No matter what a miraculous thing it is, supernatural thing God did, they didn't believe it. They didn't want to follow God. They didn't want to follow God. Verse number 6. Now these were our examples. These are our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. These things recorded in the Word of God about Israel and their failures were recorded for our examples that we would not do like they did. To learn from it. You know, we see here, they displeased God. And many of them were killed. They displeased God. And many of them were killed. Verse number 7, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Again, the nation of Israel, they were guilty of idolatry. They were guilty also, look at verse number 8, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and failed in one day, 23,000. 20,000 people were killed one day because of immorality. They're also guilty. Look down in verse number 9. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. They tempted Christ and serpents killed them. These are examples, folks, for us, not to tempt Christ, not to tempt God, but to be aware of this. Now to verse number 10, neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now let's look at verse number 11. Now all these things happen unto them for what? Examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. These things are written for us, folks. They were guilty of many things here. Ingratitude. They grumbled. How many times do we grumble? murmur. Sometimes it's just a habit. You know that? It's just a habit. But we need to be more thankful, folks, of where we are. So we see here factors that led to their deliverance. Look at verse number 11, how they were delivered. Now all these again happened unto them, for example, that they were written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the world was come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he what? Fall. Are we greater than Israel? No, we're not. We're made of the same stuff, folks. We have the same flesh. We can sin. We can fall, just like they did here. God has not promised to shield us from temptation, folks. He's not promised to do that. But we know this. He's promised to see us through any temptation that we'll face. He'll go with us through it all. He's promised that. He did Israel. He will us. We need to be always on guard against temptation. Because it's out there, folks. It's out there. We need to be aware. God wants to help to resist it. God's remedy for a sick nation. We have examples of Israel to us as God's people. Let's beware. Let's beware what God did. We have examples for us today, examples for us today in this nation. Our nation was founded upon biblical foundation, wasn't it? It was. It was founded upon biblical foundations, you see. And we see the tragedies, the things that have come place in the last 10 to 15 years, trying to destroy the very foundation that our nation stood upon. We see these examples, you see. But we have a remedy. You know what the remedy is, folks? Turn to John chapter 20, and we'll close. We have a remedy. No matter what we have to face, what comes with us, as far as trying to hinder us in this life as a Christian, we have an example. John chapter 20. Our example, as we look back at Israel, is a good example. But our example today is not Israel. Our example is Jesus Christ. We have a remedy here. Look in John chapter 20. Look at verse 30. It says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Amen? But these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. This is our job. This is our hope. Telling people about Jesus. You know, we have on our website, I think it's just worded like this, making the world a better place by telling people about Jesus. That's the only answer we have, folks, is Jesus Christ. Tell people that Jesus loved them. He died for them. I'm glad we have the opportunity. The remedy for sick nation. I want you to read 2 Chronicles chapter 1 through 9 about Solomon this week, okay? We're going to be focusing on chapter 6 and verse 7, chapter 7 next week, and how what God did there and how God wants to help us as a nation. There's hope, folks. There's hope. There's a blessed hope that is Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for life. Thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you for the time we've had. Thank you for your word. Lord, I pray, God, as we go through these next weeks together, Lord, you'd help us, Lord, as your children, to be encouraged even in these times we're living in, to know we still have the greatest story that the world needs to know about, the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And God, help us to be busy sharing and telling people the good news. Because, Lord, if people get saved, things would be different. But, Lord, until then, they'll never change. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for everyone who's come. Bless now the service about to go into. Bless their singing. Bless their preacher. Lord, anoint him afresh. Give him power to speak what you've laid on his heart today. And God, there's one here today that's not saved. We pray you save them. Your children here today that need to be encouraged, I pray you'd encourage them today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.